We're on the road to CES. Leo Laporte here with
Dr. Kiki.
Hey, Dr. Kiki. We're going to CES soon.
Soon. I am so excited. We're going to see so much incredible technology there.
One of the things I found from going to, and I haven't been to CES since 2004 because it was conflicting with Macworld and it was too much craziness, and I thought, well, I'll just skip it. I thought, I don't have to go anymore.
Yep.
I've been hankering to go. One of the things I found, though, in the old days when I used to go to Comdex or CES is you could think all you want, you could plan all you want, but when you get there, you don't know what you're going to see.
Yeah, I've been looking at the press release emails that we've gotten with various companies telling us some secrets that we're not supposed to talk about
yet. Oh, really? Saying, are you embargoed?
There's some embargoed stuff out there. Oh, okay. The please don't tell the world about this until CES.
We know we're going to see some Ford Sync stuff. We know we're going to see some very interesting new netbooks. In fact, I talked to Ryan Shrout of PC Perspective, and I asked him what he thought he might see at CES.
I think what we will see a ton of, which is something we've already kind of talked about, is a bunch of new netbooks. We'll see a lot of new netbooks and notebooks based on Pine Trail. We're going to see two new full new processor platform launches from Intel, the Clarkdale and the Arendale. So these are kind of the mainstream parts that integrate graphics on the die and that kind of stuff. So we'll see new mobile processors, new mobile systems in general that will have pretty high performance, dual core hyper-threaded systems, but be able to run at lower power consumption, maybe closer to netbook style 11-inch, 12-inch screens, but have a lot more power than, say, this Core 2 Duo Lenovo system that I have sitting here. NVIDIA has made no secret about it. They're going to talk about Tegra at CES. Tegra 2 is what they'll probably announce. And I think they'll have a couple of Tegra 2 devices to demonstrate, but I really want to see devices using Tegra currently. You know, we've got the Zune HD and not much else using Tegra now. We've seen previews for devices. We talked about that pre-rendered tablet last week that looks really cool. I think NVIDIA knows that they're in a spot where they have to push their unique technologies, and Tegra is definitely one of those that they can stand out from what Atom can do and what ARM can do and things like that. I think there'll still be some cool stuff from the component level types of things. I don't think we're going to see any new product announcements, but I think you'll see some new technologies. AMD came out with multi-monitor gaming iFinity, where you can have three 30-inch displays, and they've previewed six monitors connected to a single graphics card and all that kind of stuff, and these extreme PC gaming iterations. I think NVIDIA will have answers to that. You know, it may involve multiple monitors. It may involve 3D. Really not sure. But I still think there's some cool stuff for hardware enthusiasts, even though it seems like, based on what we were just talking about, that it's almost all notebooks and mobility. That's definitely like the kind of growth trend, the upward march. That's where we'll see most of our stuff. But there will still be some interesting tech out there. I hope to see a lot of USB 3.0 stuff and things like that as well.
And we also talked to Dick DiBartolo. I want to hear what he had to say.
Yeah. Dickie D, the Gizwiz. Dick DiBartolo is here. Hey, Dick, how are you?
I'm great, Leo. How you doing?
Very good. You're going to be in Vegas with us at CES. In fact, you go every year to CES, don't you?
I do. I go scouring the depths of CES. None of those big, flashy, you know, the booths with 30,000 TV sets. I avoid those. I go downstairs to look for the mom and pop gadgets. Often I go down there and someone goes, oh, there's someone with a press badge here. There's someone with the press.
They're
the press
so happy to see anybody.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the press wants the big stories, the 200-inch screen.
Right.
The LCD screen that's an eighth of an inch thick. So, and I've already started getting some press releases.
So, I know where we're talking to people, we're going to kind of getting an idea of what we're going to look for when we get down to Vegas.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing we're going to see at Showstoppers. I think it's called Mind Blowers. I don't know why you need this technology, but we're going to see it demonstrated.
That's never
where
stopped anybody in the tech industry
before. I know, Leo. So you on your iPhone, you want to scroll up? You can just blow in the up direction on your iPhone.
Oh!
Yes, so you can blow things around on
a
screen.
That's hysterical.
So I'm not sure why that's easier than doing it with a finger, but so we definitely have to see that.
Yes.
And we're going to have a camera crew there. So that'll be
we
fun.
We will. Dr. Kiki and I will be there with this weird remote access unit that Colleen is building right now. In fact, we'll have another video on this feed of Colleen kind of behind the scenes, all the gear that she's designing, inventing, and bringing to Vegas with us, including this Mushroom Portabella-based unit that's just wild. I know, isn't the name great? The Mushroom Portabella.
That's just great.
So you go? Do you go to the it's like the Taiwanese hall, right? Where it's just kind of the weird Chinese manufacturers.
You know what?
Stuff?
I actually don't, and I'll tell you why. It's because they don't understand that you want to film something for television, or I don't think they get the idea of doing something for publicity.
Well, no, because they're not selling. They're not really selling to end users. A lot of these guys, right?
That's exactly right. They're there to sign up dealers and things like
that. They're trying to find somebody who will sell it for them.
Exactly. Right. Yes, right. In a lot of cases, they're here trying to find a U.S. distributor.
Right.
And a lot of booths, you will see that, looking for a distributor here in the U.S.
I think you found, I remember one year, the Toilet Tunes guys in the basement there, right?
The baseball cap radio guy.
Okay.
You know, sometimes this was a radio built into the brim of the cap. But he said it was going to sell for $149. I was too embarrassed to say, sir.
$149?
Kidding me?
It's a radio and a baseball cap.
You know, sometimes I think people design something in their garage and really don't check out what the market will bear. You know, $69, you might get a buyer, but, you know, Not at those prices.
And
I'm
going to
see people that we know. We'll have, you know, see Crane is going. They're going to have new products.
Yeah, Bob Heil, our microphone guy, who's lending us a ton of microphones for the show, actually has a new microphone, a new headset microphone that he's designed just for C. Crane for laptops for people using Skype. So I want you to check that out, because I think that sounds really cool. I love Bob Crane.
I didn't even know C. Crane sold.
This is a new thing for them. Yeah, that Bob Heil has designed for them. So that's pretty exciting. So
yeah,
we're going to have a lot of fun. And, you know, it's just CES is just an event. And you know, Tech TV used to go every year, literally cost $1 million, because you get a truck, you bring all the people down and stuff. We're doing the same thing for like $1.20, I think, is the cost. So adjust your expectations accordingly.
They're down there. Trust me.
Dick DiBartolo, he's the GizWiz. You can listen to the GizWiz Monday through Friday on the Twit Network with all sorts of great gadgets and gizmos. And on Fridays, we do the Gadget Warehouse Friday with an old gadget that everybody's forgotten about. On Tuesdays, I do a gadget. Dick is just the greatest. And we will see you, Dick. Let's see, I guess Friday at CES.
I'll be there.
That's Dick DiBartolo, our home theater guy. Scott Wilkinson does a great Home Theater Geeks show. He's brand new on Twit. I asked him also what he's looking forward to seeing in terms of big screens or home theater. He had this to say.
Hi, Leo. It's Scott Wilkinson. I'm going to be seeing you next week at CES, and we will undoubtedly have a lot to cover. I'm expecting 3D to be everywhere. We just talked with Andy Parsons on my podcast, and we were talking about the completion of the 3D Blu-ray spec. And so we're going to see an awful lot of Blu-ray players with 3D capability, a lot of TVs with 3D capability. And whether or not we see a lot of Blu-ray discs with 3D capability has yet to be seen. But we'll certainly see the hardware on which to play those discs. And I expect it to look pretty damn good. Several different technologies are going to be available, and I'm looking forward to checking them all out to see which one I like best. But that's going to be one of the biggest areas of CES that I can imagine. I myself am going to be looking quite a bit at the very high end of things for ultimateavmag.com, my primary website. And so I'm going to be looking at speakers, listening to speakers, and Blu-ray players and power amps and preamps and the sorts of things that audio geeks get way into. So that's going to be another great thing. I'm hoping to get you and the camera crew around to some of the booths, because the booths, if nothing else at CES, the booths are remarkable. Samsung in particular does an incredible booth. The visuals in their booth are really stunning. So I'm looking forward to showing that to you. Sony, Panasonic, Pioneer are also generally do fabulous booths. So we're going to take a look at those. I know that Samsung's going to have a ton of new product, as Sony is as well, Panasonic probably as well. And we're going to be looking at a bunch of that. Will we see big screen OLED TVs? Certainly prototypes. They're going to show them off as being the wow factor. But are we really going to see any big products next year? I don't think so. I think it's still in the prototype stage. The problem is it's so expensive to make an OLED TV, especially a big one. Small screens for cell phones and portable media players and so on, not a big deal. They're making those now, and we're seeing them in product. But for big screen TV, that's several years off, if ever. It's an economy situation. You know, it's cost so much to make those things, and they would be so expensive that very few people would buy them. The one product that came out, the Sony 11-inch XEL1, 11-inch diagonal screen for $2,500. And larger screens would be far more than that. So I don't see much of a future there, except as a technology demonstration in the CES booths. And we'll see plenty of them. And they should look really good. LG did announce a 15-inch, I think. So we might actually see that product. I'm really curious to know how much they're going to charge for that. Elsewise, we're going to see a lot of parties. I hope you get invited to some of the parties that are happening. I know you and I will be together at the Digital Experience on Wednesday night, I believe, looking at a variety of products. And that's another interesting thing about the show, which I'm sure you'll find. There's not only the main show in the convention center, but there's also the high performance show at the Venetian Hotel, and then various satellite shows such as Digital Experience, such as Showstoppers, such as THE Show, the high end. It's actually called the Home Entertainment Show, but it's really high end audio. Literally, it's impossible to see everything. We'll be in Vegas with 150,000 of our closest friends. And the cab lines will be long, although probably not as long as they have been in the past. Last year, with the economy and so on, we did see a little bit of a drop in attendance. Cab lines weren't so long. It was easier to get into clubs. And I expect we'll probably see that again this year. But there is way more to cover than we can. The convention center itself is almost 2 million square feet. We're going to be putting a lot of miles on our shoes this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing you and reporting all the good things that we can see from CES. So have a happy new year and see you soon.
That's Scott Wilkinson of Home Theater Geeks. Now, there's some other people, Kiki, that we're going to have out there. I mean, everybody's going to be there.
Yeah, we also have Ryan Block. I mean, he's with GDGT, but he's going out to check out lots of stuff.
Cell phones, gadgets.
Any kind of gadget. Yep. He's going to be there. And so hopefully we'll get some news, some good news from him on what's out there for
our consumers. Good friends from Revision 3 will be there. Patrick Norton's going to come by. Becky Worley's there for ABC from Good Morning America. She's going to come by. So we're going to meet with a lot of people. We've got our spies out there covering CES for you. Our live coverage begins Wednesday night with the Digital Experience. That's a great event for journalists where you could see some really interesting stuff up close.
Yeah, so we're going to be out with our live camera streaming rig, probably starting around 7 or so in the evening Pacific time.
Live.twit.tv.
Live.twit.tv. We're going to be out again on Thursday evening around about the same time. About 7 to 10 p.m. both evenings.
And that's for Showstoppers. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. I love Showstoppers. And then afterwards, we're going to kind of go to some other events and parties.
Yep.
Friday night, there's an interesting party with LeVar Burton, and they're talking about Twitter and stuff. And, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all day.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all day, we are covering CES from the show.
Crazy.
We have a stage, the Twit Live stage in the South Hall.
Yeah.
And we are in location S1.
In S1,
broadcast location 1.
So if you are a CES attendee, you'll be able to get in and you'll be able to come by and say hi, and I hope you will.
So Leo, who's making all this CES coverage possible?
We're very grateful to our friends, all our sponsors, including Sync. Let's pause for a word from Sync, and we'll be right back with more of our CES preview. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to do a Ford Sync commercial from the car. So here we are in the Mustang. Now, this is a little bit of a different kind of a sync because I got the big performance screen. How do you like that little pony there? The sync in most of the Ford syncs, unless you buy the GPS package, is really just this part. Now, the first thing that happened already is my phone is connected, which is kind of funny because my phone is back in the studio, but it sees that via 3G, rather via Bluetooth. And so now it's playing my my book, which is Jerry Pournelle's Moat in God's Eye. And it's playing that from the cell phone in the studio. But that's one thing that's cool. It does A2DP, so it can actually play stereo audio from the phone. And if I go to a media, you'll see that it's coming from my 3G phone, and I can pause it and so forth. More interesting, though, is using the USB connection. In here, let me show you. And all sync vehicles have this. There's a USB port. So I have, I don't know if you can see it, but I have an iPod, and I plug it into the iPod's connector into here. And then I switch over to the source to the... Oh, that's line in, so it has a regular line in jack, and I switch the source over to a USB, and now I'm listening to the USB, and I can press the sync button. Let me show you on the steering wheel here. This is the sync button here, so let me press the sync button. Audio. These are the choices. Sync.
USB.
Play artist U2. So then it heard that it was U2, and now it's going to play something by U2. Oh, I turned it all the way down, sorry. So I can do this too, though, some other things. Now, so I could play any song. Travel Link. This is the serious Travel Link stuff. This is amazing. 5-day weather forecast. So because I just turned the car on, it's going to actually have to download that, which takes a little while. If you've been driving for a few seconds, it comes up right away. But it's not just weather. I got fuel prices. I've got movie listings. So here's the nearest gas station. Here's the Chevron. It'll navigate me to there. Again, you don't have to have the screen. The beauty of Sync is you can have the GPS without a GPS, expensive GPS screen. This one does, obviously, but let's show you some of the other things I can do. Climate temperature, 90.
Temperature, 90. Is that correct?
No. But I could if I wanted to.
Command or say help.
Destination. Home. And now it'll guide me home through the GPS. Now, with the sync, again, if you don't have the screen, it'll just tell you the instructions. So you're really never even looking down at this. The whole time you're looking out, driving. You're never get your hands off the wheel. You never take your eyes off the road. It's really amazing. Sync also has some other great features like 911 assist. It'll use my phone and call 911 if the airbags are deployed. Let's hope I never need to use that. It also gives me vehicle history reports and a whole lot more. This is an amazing technology, and it's all comes down to this one sync button on your steering wheel and the ability to command the computer in the car to do almost anything. I just love it. Audio. Sync. So you have other sources here too. So
USB.
Play track Daily Gizwiz.
D-A-I-L-Y.
You get the idea. So there you go. Thanks for taking a little tour of my car. I think you're going to enjoy the Ford Sync. Make sure you test drive it at your local Ford or Lincoln or Mercury dealer. And come see us at CES. We're going to be showing off the Sync in the Lincoln and having a lot of fun. We'll see you next time. Thanks to Sync for taking us to CES. Bye-bye. Also, look out front for the Lincoln MKT that's provided by our friends at Sync.
That's right. We've gotten a wonderful car to help drive our equipment out, and to, you know, we can also tell everybody, you know, how it works for us. And
you know who's amazing?
It looks like a great car. I'm looking forward to getting a ride in it.
Who's driving that down for us?
Burke,
who is our newest employee at Twit. He's got a sound engineer. He's going to be running the board for us and do the sound down there. And also, he can fix anything that breaks. So he's a good person to have down there. Colleen's been working like crazy. Did you see the portable rig, the Portabella she's put together?
The Portabella. I love that.
Let's take a look.
The Portabella is beautiful.
Colleen's going to give us a little tour. She recorded this earlier of some of the things we're going to take down to Las Vegas. Colleen?
So here we are now in the recently acquired Twit Kitchen. We now control the entire building, which is cool because I have a place to kind of build stuff. What I'm going to be showing you right now is our on-site booth mobile broadcasting rig. This is essentially one box, all these things bolt on top of it to make it just essentially a protected box on wheels. Pop those things off and we have a full audio mixer on the top, TriCaster Studio on the bottom, audio compressor, all the little converters we need to get the computer signals in and out like we like them. And then this pulls out and flips up and we have the full TriCaster interface. So all we need to do to broadcast is plug in microphones, set up some light panels, and plug in some cameras, and we're ready to do a fully switched show at CES. A studio has to do a number of things. We have to have video sources, which are cameras. We have to have audio sources, which are microphones. We have to be able to mix them so that we can decide, oh, I want this camera on this screen now, or I want this camera double boxed with this other camera, or you know, this person needs to be on mute, or that person needs to be turned up, or whatever. So this device allows us to do all of our audio mixing. This device, the NewTek TriCaster, which is essentially a computer on steroids, allows us to do all of our video mixing and all of our double boxes. And it also has the ability to stream Flash media directly out of it to a server for syndication to a live stream. Now, one thing that I've added to this whole setup is the ability for us to use Skype to do two-way communication between guests anywhere in the world. You'll see the Skypeosaurus in our main studio, which allows us to do four at a time. I only included one for this one so that we can reduce complexity. But what this means is when we have on the actual broadcasting, or sorry, the show floor at CES, we could have a person, a reporter at a booth talking to Leo back at our booth. This is one of the tricks that I'm using to actually convert all of the analog signals that come out of the TriCaster with the audio and video directly into something that's usable for this laptop for Skype. This is a Canopus ADVC, which allows you to take S-Video in, which is an analog video standard, and RCA Audio in, which is an analog audio standard, and it turns it into FireWire DV, which then goes to this laptop. The laptop can understand DV, and then we can call out directly from there. One of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to reduce the actual setup and teardown time by assembling everything ahead of time. It'll make it so that we can roll up and we're ready to broadcast, but also means we can make sure that we have all of our cables and everything set up ahead of time. One of the things that we're using to do that is this giant snake, which means all the microphone cables can be pre-ran directly to the mixer. This sits inside of the box, and then when we get there, all we have to do is grab this snake, pull it out, drop it right on the table where all the microphones are going to be, and plug the microphones and headphones directly into it. The other thing we want to do is we're very public about how we produce all of this. This video projector right here is actually going to be hooked up to the output of the TriCaster so people can see, as Leo is switching things in real time using the TriCaster control surface, what's going on. It'll be up on a big wall somewhere in our booth. Not quite sure where yet. So one of the capabilities that we've built for CES is the ability to actually walk around while we're broadcasting. The way we're going to do this is we have a Dell XT2 tablet that I'm going to be holding, and then we have this bag that's going to be over my shoulder. In this bag, we have three or four or five, depending on how many we can acquire, 3G modems from a device from Mushroom Networks called the Portabella. These are plugged into this, which then generates an Ethernet connection which goes to our laptop that's a combination of the various 3G services. This unfortunately doesn't have a battery inside of it, so we have little lithium polymer battery packs that we're going to be using to power the devices. We are also carrying extra lithium polymer battery packs so that we can extend the life of our laptops and cameras and all sorts of things. On top of that, in our pack, we have AC adapters built into it, so that they can all go up to one plug, so if I go anywhere and I find a plug, I can recharge while we're on the show floor.
Colleen Kelly, she's the genius behind a lot of the weird stuff that we use here.
Absolute genius. She worked for weeks.
Oh, she's going crazy.
She's tireless, yeah. Tirelessly putting this together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know recently she's been making sure that it's all going to work. She's troubleshooting every possible opportunity for things to go wrong.
But, well, one of the things we want to say is we want to lower expectations. Yep. We're doing this with kind of some interesting bleeding edge stuff.
Yes.
One thing we promise we will do, there will be downloadable shows on iTunes and twit.tv. Go to search for Twit at CES or just Twit and you'll find the CES stuff. You can download audio and video. We will have at least one or two shows every single day of the best of. So we don't know how well the live's going to work. That's kind of a mystery.
The live is a mystery, and we're kind of excited to be taking you with us to experience it because you're part of what we do, and so it'll be... It's going to be all of us. We're trying something new, and I think it's going to be very exciting whatever happens. Regardless, you know, we're going to have live coverage. We will be streaming from our stage.
Somehow.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're also going to have our cell phones, and we're going to be posting to twitlive.posterous.com.
And then we'll also go out through the Twit YouTube and various other places once it gets to Posterous.
All sorts of... We're going to put videos and other stuff out there. So all of us have access to this Twit Live website that we're going to just post content to constantly. And I've got my little droid. So I've got...
What essentially started as a party has turned into kind of this crazy enterprise. We hope you'll join us. We don't know what's going to happen. Please be fully understanding, be patient, but do be here. Starting on January 6th, the evening of, and going right through January 10th, live from CES. It's Twit Live with Dr. Kiki and me.
Yeah.
And a cast of thousands.
And if you can't tune in live, we'll be in iTunes. So look for Twit Live at CES for our iTunes audio and video feeds.
And thanks very much to the folks at Sync for making this all possible. Our sponsors are paying for most of this. So thank you guys for doing a great job. We'll see you at CES, right?
Will
you wear that hat?
I might take my hat.